This month, NPR's Rob Gifford is charting the dramatic transformation of Chinese society through the lives of five individuals from different walks of life. His series, Portraits of a Changing China, continues today with a report from Chongqing in the central part of the country. This morning, we meet a survivor, now one of China's most successful businessmen, but for 20 years, during the 1960s and 70s, he was persona non grata in strictly Maoist China.
64-year-old Yinming Shan pauses as he enters one of the workshops of his factory. He's a tall, thin man with large glasses that give him a bookish air. A slight smile of satisfaction seems to flicker across his lean face as he surveys the hundreds of workers inside the cavernous workshop. This is where we make the engines for the motorbikes, he says. 2 million of them last year. Half of those went for export. As far as motorbike production is concerned, he adds, China is the new Japan. Yin is the founder and CEO of the Li Fan Group, China's biggest exporter of motorbikes. He's one of China's new rich, who've ridden the wave of the country's economic boom of the 1990s. But Yin, like so many people of his age, is also a survivor, whose road to wealth has been by no means smooth. In fact, it's been a complete roller coaster, his whole life dominated by one political organization, the Chinese Communist Party. Sitting back in his comfortable but modest office, he remembers as though it was yesterday when, as a young, idealistic 19-year-old just out of high school, he was arrested during one of Chairman Mao's early purges in 1958. He was viciously attacked as a rightist opposed to the Communist Party.
In fact, I was a very earnest young man, committed to the Communist Party. I couldn't believe I was being criticized. I think it must have been because my parents had been landlords before, which was part of the exploiting class.
Yin was eventually sent to a labor camp for a year, and when he was finally released in 1961, his life was a wreck. He couldn't find a job, none of his friends dared associate with him, and for 20 years, Yinming Shan was a non-person. He scraped out a living doing the most menial work, and in the nine-level categorization of people's political reliability in those days, Yin was Chou Laojiao, a stinking ninth category at the bottom of the communist heap. He says he kept himself going by secretly teaching himself to read English.
I read David Copperfield in the original and Jane Eyre, and Treasure Island as well by Robert Louis Stevenson. I could read English pretty well, and all along I never gave up hope that the Communist Party would realize I wasn't an enemy of the people.
Yin's re-emergence into Chinese society began when Mao died in 1976. His successor, Deng Xiaoping, overturned the accusations against millions of innocent people like Yin. At a stroke, his bad political record was wiped out, and he was now free at the age of 41 to restart his life. In the early 80s, Yin began by turning round a failing business, and then he set his sights on starting his own. In 1991, with nine employees, he started producing spare parts for motorcycles in a dirty shed in central Chongqing. The business grew fast as the Communist Party's commitment to economic development increased. Incredibly, by 1999, Yin says Li Fan was the largest producer of motorbike engines in the world, and he was being praised by the very Communist Party that had destroyed his life. But he says that's okay, because the party itself has changed.
The party is evolving in line with the changes going on in China. It's not interested anymore in making the whole world believe in communism. Today, the main aim of the party is to make the country and the people prosperous.
Despite economic changes, most Chinese people say the party hasn't changed politically. Ask members of the spiritual group Falun Gong, brutally crushed for wanting to exercise their beliefs freely. Or the hundreds of millions of poor peasants who see the party secretaries of their villages get rich, while their taxes increase and their lives get tougher. Yinming Shan doesn't deny that China still has many problems, but he says for him and most of his workers at the Lifan factory, you can't even compare today with the past. Next door to Yin's office, one of Lifan's managers, Bob Yang, deals with the company's exports. He used to work at a state-owned enterprise where the salary was low and he hadn't been paid for 6 months.
He's a miracle worker, of course. You know, Lifan himself is a miracle. It's Mr. Yin who creates this miracle. In this business, the capital is only $25,000. But now, I think last year, our capital is around $50 million.
One consultant in Beijing estimates that there are now some 10,000 Chinese people, including Yinming Shan, who are dollar millionaires. He also says that perhaps 5 or 6 million Chinese have personal assets of more than $100,000. Yin doesn't seem to have let money go to his head too much, perhaps because he survived such hardship as a young man. But he says he does have a few luxuries he's spent money on. He recently bought the local soccer team. His teenage daughter attends a girls' boarding school in England. And at the end of the day, there's nothing he prefers more than cruising home in his chauffeur-driven, top-of-the-line BMW, listening to saxophonist Kenny G. As the car pulls out of the factory, Yin stretches out his tall frame in the back seat and says now his dream is to form a joint venture with Harley Davidson, making their bikes in China. He smiles when asked why he's not more bitter towards the party about the past.
I think Chinese people are different from Westerners. We don't need revenge for everything that happens to us. I think we are more fatalistic. Lots of Chinese people are like me. We move on.
Asked who his heroes are, Yin's comments are revealing.
My real hero is Deng Xiaoping, because he allowed the Chinese people to make money again. But I'm also a great admirer of Thomas Jefferson, because he laid the foundations for America. And Margaret Thatcher, because she turned the British industry around. From state-owned to privately run.
Yin admits that Jeffersonian democracy is probably some way off in China, but he says we're building a country here from almost nothing, and he believes the economy should come first. In fact, people like Yinming Shan are part of the reason why Jeffersonian democracy has never arrived here. Wealthy Chinese merchants have throughout history always been co-opted into the ruling political system to prevent them from forming an independent power base against the emperor or now against the party. Last July, Communist Party Chairman Jiang Zemin announced that entrepreneurs would be allowed to join the party, another step in its much vaunted transformation. Yinming Shan looks over somewhat sheepishly and above the strains of Kenny G, admits that he has been approached and that within the next few months he's due to become a member of the Communist Party that almost crushed him 40 years ago. Rob Gifford, NPR News, in Chongqing, central China.